the day of trouble, and He knows those who take refuge in Him. It's these verses, plus literally hundreds of others, that bring the glorious attribute of the goodness of God to the front of the display case. God's goodness is undisputably magnified in Scripture again and again, and should be magnified in our hearts, our lives, and our speech as well. Right? The premise is that if God is good, and He has shown His goodness to you in saving you, then you ought to go and do good likewise. We ought to be perfect, even as our Father is perfect. But I think our idea of good, I could use scare quotes there, I think our idea of good is a bit watered down. The mother or grandmother who says shortly after little Johnny, running carelessly through his neighbor's living room, knocks the vase over and shatters it on the ground, the mother or grandmother says, "Oh, little Johnny really is a good boy. Good." Or we hear people speaking of an addict or a criminal, and they say something like, "I know he has done such and such, but he really has a what? A good heart. A good heart." Or at the funeral of a wealthy and worldly business executive, his loved ones might say, "Well, he lived a good life." What does good really mean? Do any of those uses truly fit the bill according to the Bible, according to a Christian worldview? Does anyone have a good heart? Is anyone good? Does the Bible answer these questions? The Bible does. These are just some of the topics that I hope to shed light on this morning in our study. I've broken up the teaching into three parts. God's goodness, number one. God's goodness expressed, number two. God's goodness applied, number three. God's goodness expressed, God's goodness applied. And here we go. Number one, God's goodness. He is essentially good. And that doesn't mean partly or mostly. That means His essence is good. His being is good. It is God's nature to be good. This is what the psalmist is saying with such brevity in Psalm 119, verse 68. You are good and do good. God is good, God does good, and yet that short verse is pregnant with truth. So what is it to be good? What does goodness mean? Well, let me throw out a definition. The goodness of God is understood to be that which disposes Him to be kind, benevolent, caring, and full of goodwill. Do you get that? It disposes Him to be kind, benevolent, caring, and full of goodwill. This is the goodness of God. I remember over the years as I've corresponded with Jeremiah Bass, which several of you know, he will often sign off in his emails D period, V period. Anybody other than Jeff Price know what he means? Jeff, what does he mean? Deo volente. This is a Latin phrase. Deo meaning God, volente meaning will. God's will. We think of English terms like benevolent, right? And now we understand that we get that from the Latin term bene volente, good will. Or malevolent, male volente, bad will. God is full of benevolence. God has good will towards mankind. Where do we see that in the Scriptures? When the birth of Jesus has taken place. peace on earth and goodwill toward men. God's goodness means that he is tender-hearted and quick to sympathize. His unchanging attitude towards humanity from Adam and Eve before the fall and men after the fall is open, honest, direct, and yet friendly. Think of that. God's goodness compels him to do good to undeserving sinners and even take great pleasure in the happiness of his people. This is God's goodness. He's kind, he's benevolent, he's caring, and he's full of goodwill towards mankind. The Puritan Thomas Manton said, "He is original good, good of himself, which nothing else is." Welcome, brother. "For all creatures are good only by participation and communication from God. He is essentially good, not only good, but goodness itself. The creature's good is a superadded quality. In God, it is his essence. He is infinitely good. The creature's good is but a drop, but in God there is an infinite ocean or gathering together of all good." God is good. In so many of our studies to date in this series, we have seen how great God is. And I think y'all know what I mean. How magnificent, how wonderful, how big, how glorious. This morning we're going to see how good God is. We could even say of God's goodness that it is a great goodness. Recall what Jesus said to the rich young ruler. Mark chapter 10, verse 18. In the dialogue, Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." No one is good except God alone. Now, contrary to what enemies of Christianity might think of that statement, trying to use it to say that Jesus is not divine because only God is good, we understand Jesus attempting to show this man something of his divinity. You call me good? If you say that I am good, I say only God is good. I am God. Sell your stuff, follow me. This is the dialogue that takes place with the rich young ruler. God alone is good. Remember Hebrews 1, Jesus is the exact imprint of his nature. Thus, Jesus is good. No other man ever born of a woman can say that of himself. We are not good. God alone is good. And to speak of God being essentially good, good as his nature, we are meaning that God is goodness itself. There is no good apart from God. He doesn't take goodness from anything external to himself. He is goodness itself. And all goodness emanates from him, is communicated by him to his creatures. Think of this. Creation is good because God is good. Redeemed humanity flows out of the benevolent God, the goodness of God. I think we could say it is the goodness of God that is the fuel of every blessing that has ever been or ever will be. The goodness of God is behind it all. And God is immutably good. You remember how I've tried to describe at different points, all of God's attributes are in union. So God is immutably good. He has never been more good than he is today, nor has he ever or will he ever be less good. He is unchangeably good. And that's good news. That is good news. Psalm 52, verse 1, the goodness of God endures continually. Continually. The cause of God's goodness is himself, for he is good. He is the initiator of all good. And we, as mankind, are merely the beneficiaries of his goodness, and that apart from any merit in and of ourselves. We don't deserve his goodness, and we cannot repay his goodness. Yet, God is good to us. To the poor in spirit, God is forgiving. To the weary soul, God gives rest. To the fearful ones, God is friendly. To the wandering sinner, God is a guide. To the ignorant man, God is considerate. To the weak, God is gentle. To the stranger, God is hospitable. God is good. He's good. Come, magnify the Lord with me. God is good. What else do we see the psalmist saying? Taste and what? See that the Lord is good. Taste and see, brethren. That's my desire this morning, is that you would experientially become more and more acquainted with the good God. He's good. This is just another perfection within our God that renders him so beautiful to us, so desirable. He's good. And this is attractive. This is not meant to turn sinners away. This is meant to cause sinners to come. Come. Because the riches of his kindness, because of his patience, because of his forbearance, because of his goodness, come, turn, live. God is an infinite fountain of goodness. His mercy is good. His love is good. His righteousness is good. His justice is good. All that he is good and good forever. No matter what men think. He's good no matter how dark your circumstances are. He's good no matter the evil and sin that exist in the world. Charles Wesley wrote a hymn. I'll share two stanzas. Y'all knew Charles Wesley wrote a hymn. He wrote a whole bunch. That was not a hot news flash. But I'll read two stanzas of this hymn that you may have never heard. O God, my hope, my heavenly rest, my all of happiness below, grant my importunate request, to me, thy goodness show. Thy beatific face display the brightness of eternal day. Before my faith's enlightened eyes, make all thy gracious goodness pass. Thy goodness is the sight I prize. O might I see thy smiling face. Thy nature in my soul proclaim. Reveal thy love, thy glorious name. God is good. And we ought to make that our prayer, as Charles Wesley made it his prayer, that God might make more of his goodness known. Now, we're talking about God's goodness, still in part one. And so here comes the age-old objection. An objection philosophers have been squabbling over for millennia. If God is good, why is there evil in the world? Now, Dan is going to tackle that for us this morning. Okay. I'm not going to tackle that for us this morning, but I will make a few comments. We should have the confidence to say, brethren, Scripture declares God's goodness, and it is so. Do you have that kind of confidence? Let God be true, and what? Every man a liar. We should, with boldness, be able to say, I know that's going on in the Middle East. I know my own heart. I know the fall of man. I know all the evil in the realm of politics, in the realm of everything. But God is still good. Can you say that? Do you believe that? Do you know that to be true? Yet, we should also be ready, willing, and equipped to share biblical truth. What the Bible actually says about difficult questions regarding the goodness of God, regarding God's nature. Are you equipped? Are you ready with a gentle and generous heart to answer such questions? God is good. He created all things good, according to Genesis 1. He gave mankind freedom and covenanted with man to do good to man all the days of man's life if man would simply obey him. We're at the very beginning, aren't we? Man fell into sin. God did not fall into sin. Man fell into sin. Man brought ruin upon God's creation. Yet God in his sovereignty governs it all. He governs all things, and he purposes to do good in it all, to bring good out of all things for his glory, for his name. And he will bring about all of his holy will, but God is never to blame. He is good. And how his goodness has shined so bright ever since darkness entered into the world. If it wasn't for God's goodness, we wouldn't even be able to distinguish between heaven and hell, between good and evil. Men love darkness and hate the light, yet God has been turning evil men to himself ever since man fell into sin. God has been magnifying his great goodness and grace in the earth, though not one of us deserve it. And this is all driven by the goodness of God. It is best for God to be known, to make himself known in these ways. Ways that God could never have been known. His justice, his wrath, his holiness, his righteousness, his grace, his mercy. Many of these things would not have been known to mankind had it not been that man fell into sin. So God saw it best to display his glorious nature, the perfection of his being in these ways. And God knows best. Men are to blame for all the evil, all the sorrow, all the pain, all the loss. God is to be rejoiced in. He is to be worshipped because he is good and has done good. Genesis 50, verse 20, a verse that we could memorize and have ready to answer such objections. As for you, Joseph says to his brothers, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. Men mean things for evil. God governs all for good. He is good. Number two, God's goodness expressed. I feel like here we could spend five Sundays together with ease. And we could talk about all the ways that God's goodness is expressed, except we couldn't accomplish that in five Sundays, could we? I guess in some sense, for all eternity, we will be talking about all the ways God's goodness has been expressed, is being expressed. Ever since the beginning, God has been continually at work expressing his goodness towards his creation. There's not a single moment in time when God was not busy expressing his goodness. Think of two ways with me this morning, briefly. Number one, expressing his goodness in creation. Number two, in salvation. Creation. What is the refrain of Genesis chapter 1? Seven words, and God saw that it was good. We see it again and again as we progress through the chapter. And then chapter 1 culminates in verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Very good. Why wasn't creation a flat slab of brown dirt contained by a dome of impenetrable black steel at the temperature of 120 degrees every day? Why not? I submit it's because God is good. It surely isn't because we deserve anything better. It's because God is good. It's His goodness that drove Him to create the beauty that we enjoy, the beauty that we see, the beauty that we often take for granted. The seasons, the snowflake, the summer breeze, the changing of the leaves in the fall, the warm and cool, the hot and cold, the sun, the moon, and don't forget the stars. Galaxies, planets, asteroids, the mountains, the forests, the ocean waves. We could go on and on from the smallest of His creation. Insects, flowers, leaves, to the most grand objects, like planetary objects and stars. Why such diversity? God's goodness and creativity. Why such beauty? God's goodness and delight. Why so many climates? God's goodness and care. God's goodness in creation is reflected in all that we see. Yes, even in the bitter, cold, dark winters of Alaska that I don't happen to be very fond of. Yes, even in the brutally hot, humid summer days of Texas, His goodness is reflected. Think about it. It would be a great exercise if you and I would take just 2 or 3 minutes a day to meditate on certain aspects of God's creation. 2 or 3 minutes a day. Take an object. Meditate on the mountains. Meditate on deep blue oceans. Meditate on ancient, large, tall trees. And see if you don't, in 2 to 3 minutes, get a fresh glimpse of the goodness of God. God's handiwork is simply amazing. And maybe we don't even think about it that often. Maybe we don't see God's goodness in them, the glory of God in them. So, brethren, appreciate creation for what it teaches you about the good God. Look at salvation. In creation, God expresses His goodness. In salvation, of course, we say God expresses His goodness. The refrain of Psalm 107, a psalm that Mac Tomlinson told me years ago was one of his favorites. The refrain is, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. How can we see even a single sinner saved amongst humanity's evil multitude and not know something about God's goodness? Who among the fallen offspring of Adam is deserving of so great a salvation? Who among us has merited a microgram of favor with God Almighty? None of us. No one. Never has that happened. Never will that happen. And yet, God has saved millions upon millions upon millions by sovereign free grace. Why? Because He's good. In salvation, we see it so clearly, don't we? We see clearly God is good. He has to be good to save such bad men. Only a benevolent God could ever craft the plan of redemption. And don't forget it. It wasn't imposed upon Him. He did not have outside counsel. The plan of redemption from before the foundation of the world was in Him, initiated by Him, crafted by God alone. He wasn't pleasing anyone. He had no audience. He had no bribes. It was God and God alone. And out of His good will, men are saved today. To create the universe, it only cost God some words. To save sinful men, it cost God the blood of His Son. Why didn't God just blot out Adam and Eve after they fell into sin? Or all of humanity in Noah's day? Why were 8 saved? Why are we here in our day? After the fall, have you thought about it? Why didn't God usher in an era of plagues, judgment, and unmitigated wrath? Why? According to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 20, verse 15, am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? We say, yes, Lord, you're allowed. So why not wrath, death, judgment? Stephen Charnock, the English Puritan, says, God's goodness extends beyond anything we could imagine. No doubt Adam, after his sin, expected nothing from God but a curse. Yet God also came with a promise. Adam expects a curse. He deserves a curse. We say, yes, yes. But God also came with a promise. What more could we ask than what God's goodness has granted? The promise of Genesis 3:15, the promise of salvation. God could have done anything He wanted. He could have blotted out humanity at that moment, and there been no offspring, there been no nations, there been no us. And it would not have been a mark against His goodness. But He didn't. And it shows us something of the degree to which God is good. Instead, in the fullness of time, He sent forth His Son to lay down His life as the unblemished, perfect Lamb of God, to become the once-for-all sacrifice for sinners. This is the goodness of God. Sheer goodness. According to Exodus 34, it is the abundant goodness of God. Think of this. A chapter prior to Exodus 34, in Exodus 33, God is on the mountain meeting there with Moses. And Moses says to God, show me your glory. And God says, okay. He hides him in the cleft of the rock. And He's going to magnify Himself as the God who saves. He's going to proclaim as He passes by, the Lord, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. But do you know what precedes His proclamation? In the context of showing mercy and being gracious, what did God make to pass before Moses? I will make all my goodness pass before you. I'm the Lord. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. I will make my goodness pass before you. Again, Stephen Charnock, he says, this goodness of God is the captain attribute that leads all the others to act. God's goodness compelled Him to love such miserable sinners like you and like me. We say, as John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. He so loved sinners, brethren. We're talking about His goodness. He so loved sinners that He seemed for a moment to not love His Son. He would rather spare our lives than spare His Son's life. He would rather hear His Son cry out in anguish than you and I cry out in anguish forever and ever. He would rather His Son die in our place than for us to die. This is motivated by the goodness of God. What higher expression of goodness or love can there be? Who could ever conceive of such a plan? Only the good God. Only the good God. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 17, "For how great is His goodness, and how great is His beauty." Had we more time, we could consider God's goodness expressed in His providence, something I began to get to and had to just cut out for the sake of time, or God's goodness in His judgments, God's goodness in the disciplining of His children, God's goodness in His heaven. But instead, let's move on to part three, God's goodness applied. And we'll wrap up and have a time for questions. Two things, two applications. One, for our comfort. The goodness of God is for our comfort. The goodness of God is a compelling reason to run to Him, no matter the trouble you're in. Need forgiveness? Run to the good God. Weary? Run to God. Trials and tribulation? Run to God. Persecution, problems with family members? Run to God. Trouble on the job? Run to God. And we could go on, but we are motivated, we are invited by the good God to come to Him. Why? Because goodness loves to be expressed. Goodness desires to be expressed. The goodness of God is like a cup running over. The language that David used in Psalm 23. It is spilling out goodness on you and me. The cup is God in His goodness. God's goodness is a free goodness. Free in that we don't buy it and we can't ever merit it, but also free in that it comes to us according to God's good pleasure. God is unhindered goodness. Think of God's goodness when you pray. After all, it is His goodness that allows us to approach the throne of grace with boldness. God delights in our petitions. He is good. Think of God's goodness when you're afflicted. It is His goodness that will turn every affliction in the saint into growth in grace. He isn't harming us. We are only afflicted for our good and for His glory. Think of the goodness of God when you're endangered or in trouble. The Lord is good. I quoted it already, Nahum 1:7. The Lord is good. He is a stronghold in the day of trouble. Think of God's goodness when you're exhausted. At the end of a long day, after a trial of parenting little ones, think of God's goodness when you're exhausted. It is of His goodness that He desires to give to His beloved sleep. God is good, brethren. Be comforted in knowing that God is good. And second, fueling our desires. Fueling our desires. Having experienced the goodness of God, ask yourself, what else compares to Him? What else compares to Him? Psalm 27, verse 4, "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and inquire in His temple. A single-hearted devotion, a single-minded pursuit of the good God. When we hear such things, when we hear about God's perfections, when we hear about His goodness and His goodness expressed to you and to me, it ought to further conform our desires and make them more holy, make them more God-centered, make them more eager to keep pursuing the Lord. Think of what Moses heard on the mountain when he sought the Lord. He says, "Show me your glory." And God did it. And He did it in a magnificent way. He did it in a way that is being talked of more than 3,000 years later. He passed by. He showed him all His goodness. He proclaimed His name to Moses. Go to the fountain of goodness. Capital F, capital G. Go to the fountain of goodness, brethren, because all else is broken cisterns. Satisfactory in the moment, maybe, but God satisfies for eternity. Go to Him. He alone, the good God, can quench your thirst. Any questions on the goodness of God? Are there any other passages that came to mind to anyone here that speak of the goodness of God that I did not share? I mean, there's so many, but I didn't know if there were any favorites among you. Mm-hmm. 2, 4, and 5? Mm-hmm. Psalm 16:2. Do you know that one, sister? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, if there's no questions, I'll pray. Great Father, good Father, You are our delight. What a privilege it is to hear of Your goodness, Lord, for me to speak of Your goodness, to read of Your goodness, to study Your goodness. I pray that You would impart grace to help in time of need, that You would show to these, Your children, more and more of Your goodness. Lord, reveal Yourself to us. With Moses, we say, show us Your glory. Show us Your goodness. Bless the remainder of our time, the fellowship that we will enjoy with one another. Manifest Yourself amongst us today. In Jesus' name, amen.